to say Happy Father's Day too to everybody. All you fathers, I hope you're a good one.
I could preach on that, you know. I had a good one. I thank the Lord for him. And, you know, I've thought about it, how much that made a difference in my life. I was just a kid. And, wow, all of a sudden you're a dad. It makes you grow up. At least some people. I did some growing up. Think about all the responsibility you have and on the future of someone that's entrusted in your care. And then it becomes a passion for your life. You are a father. And you have responsibility. And what you do matters. And it doesn't just matter to you, it matters to those kids and how they're going to come up and how they're going to live. And are you going to give them a chance? Now, they don't always take it, but wow, that was a very sobering thing for me to become a father. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, I'm not going to have a stand and read today because I'm just going to read one verse. 11:1. But happy Father's Day to all you happy fathers. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you for this word we have in our hands. We thank you for your love to us and your forgiveness, your long-suffering and mercy,
Amen.
Your great wisdom. Oh God, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. And I pray that you give me a freedom and ease to speak that only the Holy Spirit can give, and that the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts today. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I don't have a doubt but what these men prayed an awful lot before they asked this request of the Lord. They were Jews. They were disciples of John the Baptist. And they had been taught to pray. Jews prayed. They believed in a God that answered prayer. I do too. You know, one of the amazing things that it keeps shocking me, and it has for a number of years, and as I get older, it still does. God hears my prayer.
Amen.
Have you thought about that? I think of all the times I, as a father, and I had 5 kids, and stretched over a 17-year period, all the things they asked for that were just plain stupid. Have you ever had a stupid request by your kid?
Amen.
Well, I thank God, you know, I used to just sort of put that down. Why are you praying for that? Why are you asking for that? What in the world would you do with it if I got it for you? You can't give them everything they want. When they're this high, they want a machete. And oh, if they get 10 or 12, they want a gun. And then they want a motorcycle. And we have some motorcycle riders in here that have not grown it. I got to pick on you. We ask for some things sometimes that just blows my mind. And yet God is the God who answers prayer. Said his house should be called the house of prayer. And so these disciples are there with the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, teach us to pray. And then he gives the model prayer. Some people call it, they generally quote Matthew, but they call it the Lord's Prayer. And it's not really, the Lord's not praying this prayer. He's teaching you how to pray. It's a model prayer. Well, let's look and see if we can learn anything from what we got right here. I think we can learn a few things. I'm not going to hang here long, but here's what Jesus said about praying. I'm not too sure that we're really good at this. In fact, I think I fail at it miserably. And I think a lot of people who think they're prayer warriors are mistaken.
Amen.
They're not doing a very good job.
Amen.
When Daniel prayed, there was war in heaven. And the Bible says about Elijah that he prayed for it not to rain, didn't rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed again for rain. And it rained. I haven't been having that kind of luck. I haven't been getting answers to my prayer for rain. Oh, this last week or so, we got 5 inches, praise the Lord. Coming 3 spurts, but man, I was happy. My grass is greener than it's been in a long time. But you know, we have a God who wants to answer prayer. It's amazing. Well, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Well, this is Father's Day. What do you know? We've got a heavenly Father.
Amen.
Now, that gives you a different idea of God than most people of the world have.
Amen.
I'm a father. My kids are welcome all the time. I want them around me. I'm glad when they come by. I'm glad when we go out to eat. I'm glad when they take me out to eat. I'm glad I'm a father. I love my children. And if you have a family and if you can keep it together, when they get older, they become your best friends. They're your closest friends. And even the old friends that you have of other old people like you, you're closer to your family. And so, he said, Our Father, which art in heaven. Well, praise the Lord. Do you recognize God as your Father? Now, if you're not saved, you're going to have a little problem with that. But the truth of the matter, those of us that are saved ought to really be happy that it's just not God, Almighty God, Severe God, Great God. It's our Father. And so he said, pray to your Father, which is in heaven. And he said, here's what you ought to say. Hallowed be thy name. I don't think you ought to treat him like the big boy upstairs. I think you ought to treat him like your father. I think you ought to recognize him as your father. I think you ought to treat him like your father. I think you ought to love him like you love your father. I think you ought to respect him as you respect your father. He's our Father and he's in heaven. That's a tremendous thought. I've got a Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. I hear all the time people taking Jesus' name in vain. And then I hear this phrase, Oh my God. Does that clash for you? It does me. It offends me. It just sounds wrong. Because you're not talking about your God. You're not talking to your God. You're not trying to teach anybody about your God. You're just using it as an expression. And that's taking God's name in vain. Hallowed be thy name. You ought to be real careful how you use it, because he's special.
Amen.
Now, I never got in a fight over what people called me because of my father. I did because of what they called me because of my mother a time or two. But I don't nearly hear them talking about the father that way, but his name ought to be hallowed. You ought to be respectful. It ought to be something important to you. And so we say, pray to your Father which is in heaven. And here's how you pray. Lord, I want your name to be great. I want your name to be mighty. I want to advance your cause. And then he said, thy kingdom come. Well, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the kingdom of God coming really down on this earth and reigning for 1,000 years. I'm looking forward to that. Now, all of us that are saved are a part of the kingdom of God. And yet this earth does not look like it's being controlled by the kingdom of God. This earth is in a mess.
Amen.
There are 100 wars going on right now in the world. Right now there are 100 wars. And all of our young soldiers that have come back that fought in Iraq and Afghanistan and some of these other places like the ones behind Korea and Vietnam. And then everything just turns back and you think, whoa, how can it just Go back that way. Well, I want his kingdom to come. I want him to be reigning. I would love for the Lord to be in charge. I'm sometimes not too happy with my government. I'm sometimes not too happy with my justice system. I'm sometimes not too happy with my educational system. I'm sometimes not too happy with the laws they make in San Antonio. I want the kingdom of God to come. I'm praying, and you ought to be praying. Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come." You ought to be thinking about, God, when are you going to do it? God, hurry up. You ever prayed for God to hurry up? Get in pain. You'll pray for God to hurry up and heal you. So he said to pray for our Father which art in heaven and say, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and then thy will be done as in heaven so on earth. Wow. You know, I believe just these few verses, if you just read them every once in a while, they'd change your prayer life. Amen. They'd put new words in your mouth. They'd put new thoughts in your heart. And you just might get a hold of God a little bit better than the way you're doing it right now. Thy will be done on this earth like your will's being done in heaven. His will's being done in heaven. He wants his will to be done on earth. He said you are to pray this way. So what about your prayers, the prayers that you've been praying? Do they have anything that looks like this? Do they have anything that looks like this? My Father in heaven, I want to glorify your name, your glorious. I pray your will be done, your kingdom come. How about give us this day our daily bread? I think we in America pray this month for our monthly bread. Isn't that the way most of us live? And yet, bless your heart, look around the world today. You see the pictures on television. You see the burdens that some people bring about. You see how some people live. You don't live that way. Praise God, you know, I know there are some in America that do, that slip through the cracks. But most of us are not that thankful each day for the daily bread we get. You ought to be thankful. Amen. You ought to be thankful that you're in such a rich country, that God has blessed this place so much that you could have an abundance and you could walk into HEB and get fruit from around the world any time of the year. Isn't that wild?
Amen.
I go in there now sometimes, as Verlene's been a little bit put back, I do the grocery shopping now and do a lot of cooking. But they got too many different kinds of everything that's there. What an abundance. We're not standing in line for an hour or two to get a loaf of bread. We walk in and we're confused. There's too much stuff that we can buy. And if you buy the wrong thing, oh, bless your heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. Do you ever think about asking God to forgive your sins when you sit down to pray with Him?
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, do you ever think that you even sinned? Do you think that you have anything to be forgiven of?
Amen.
Well, it looks like this is a daily prayer. Give us this day. Thank you for giving us this day and forgive us our sins. That's got to be this day. As we also forgive everyone. Any grudge holders in here this morning?
Amen.
You got anybody you're mad at this morning? It could have been 10 years ago. And you're still mad at them. You're still holding the grudge. Well, are you forgiving like you want to be forgiven? I'm telling you, it's a real simple prayer. But good night, doesn't it give us some things to think about?
Amen.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Boy, you ought to pray that every day. You ought to get up and ask God, oh God, don't let me get in the wrong line. Don't let me meet the wrong person. Don't let me say the wrong thing. Don't let me go after the wrong thing. Don't lead me into a place of temptation because I might fall. Do you think you can't fall? I've known preachers of the gospel, 70 years old, to get caught in adultery. And just smear their whole ministry. What a shame. What an embarrassment. Well, we need to be praying about forgive us our sins and ask God not to lead us into temptation. Because you know what you are? You're weak. Well, I know some of you really think you're strong. But I'll tell you what, David was a man after God's own heart. David wrote beautiful praise unto God. David was a great warrior and a great king, and David fell. Brought all sorts of death and blood on his family. And if David can fall, and if Samson can fall, what do you think about you?
Amen.
I don't think you're as spiritual as David, and I don't think you're as strong as Samson. We need to be praying for God not to lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, that's a model prayer. You don't need to quote these words, but you need to learn to pray like that. You need to take a look at this and say, how do I pray? Many times in my life, when I didn't know exactly how to pray, I would take Scripture and open it up, and I would look and see what they're talking about, and I would pray that. Well, you might ought to take this little model prayer out sometime and learn how to pray. You got a God that hears and answers prayer. He said His house should be called the house of prayer. Has God ever answered anything really for you that you know? He has for me.
Amen.
He has for me. He has blessed me beyond anything. I've seen Him. Praise God, He's answered my prayers. Now, He didn't answer all of them. And there's some of them He didn't answer that I'm glad He didn't answer. I look back on them later and said, oh, I did not want that. I didn't know it at the time, but I did not want that. Thank you, Lord, for not answering my prayer, for having enough wisdom and enough grace and enough mercy to say no. Yeah, I think you ought to learn how to pray. Well, look with me, Will, about prayer, about James chapter 5. When should you pray? Well, looks pretty simple right here. James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with prayer. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. It says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. When should you pray? Are you afflicted? Are you in trouble? Are you sick? Are you too proud to pray when you're like that? Some people think that foxhole conversions can't be real. Oh, they're real, all right. Sometimes we don't pray like we ought to till we get in the foxhole and the bullets are shooting over our head. I've heard it said there are no atheists in foxholes. I would think that's about true. God, if you're up there, please listen. You know, God's up there, and sometimes He listens, and people get converted in foxholes and live for God the rest of their life. People get converted when they're in trouble, maybe going to jail or something like that. Our evangelist that we've had here, Brother Spurgeon, he was in a jail cell when he started calling on God. Wow. He wanted to find somebody. He's in trouble. He's going away to jail for 30 years. Good night. I believe that'd be a time to pray. When should we pray? Are you sick? Pray. Are you afflicted in some way? Pray. You got problems with your kids? Pray. You got problems in the church? Pray. You got problems at work? Pray. Wow. When should you pray? When you need it. And when you decide you need it, you'll pray a better prayer. If I'm just praying every day, I don't pray near as earnestly as I prayed for when Verlene was hurting, pain, or one of my children was sick, or there was trouble in the church, or people were dividing up against each other. Then I can pray. How about you? The problem is we don't get that serious most of the time. Most of our prayers are not as serious as they ought to be. But if you're sick, well, pray. You're afflicted, pray. And the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we have examples of that. In the Bible, we've got Daniel. What a prayer soldier, prayer warrior was Daniel. I mean, God heard him. And the devil had to fight him. And God's angels are fighting the devil's angels, and he had to wait 21 days before he got the answers to his prayer. But what a prayer! What a power in prayer to move God! Sometimes we think that the devil is after us, and the devil's really giving us a hard time, and maybe he is. And maybe it's just your flesh. Maybe it's just your bad attitude. Just maybe it is your disobedience for a long time that has brought that upon you, and the devil doesn't even know your name. He knew Daniel's name. We're supposed to pray. Prayer is an important thing. And he said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I love the story of Elijah in the rain. I love it how he walked in and said, it's not going to rain anymore till I say so. And the king said, who is this stupid religious prophet walking in here to tell me it's not going to rain until it's by his word? And I'm sure Elijah was not dressed in king's robes, nor ambassador's robes. He didn't look like anybody that would have any power with God or any nation on the face of the earth. But he walked in and said, it's not going to rain till I say so. Wow. What a shock. I bet that's the biggest shock Ahab ever got. I bet he was surprised when that prophet came in there and made that statement. And he just dismissed him. Who are you? Well, in about 6 months, they were hunting all over for him. Ahab had people going everywhere. I want Elijah. Bring him back to me. I want him up here. I want to be able to talk to him. I want to threaten him. I want to get him to pray for rain. It hadn't rained in 6 months. Now, we know what that's about. We're a semi-desert country that we live in here. Pretty close back over to the east, a little more water. But out to the west, a little less water. We're in trouble. And so we pray. I've heard a lot of prayers for rain right in this church right here. I've heard Wednesday night people saying, Lord, give us rain. Lord, we need rain. Well, when he prayed, I love this story. He prayed, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. He's already had the fight with the enemies of God. He's already slaughtered them, but he's praying up there. He prayed one time. Two times, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times. And his servant said, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Look at that. He prayed seven times. And a little cloud the size of a man's hand. What did Elijah tell him? Ahab, it's about 20 miles. You better get in your chariot and head out of here because the rain's going to get you. A cloud the size of a man's hand? What audacity! No, that's called faith. That's called God answering a prayer of a righteous man. And that cloud built up across the lake out there, or the sea, and come flying in, and Elijah outran those horses back to the city. He's a tough brother, I tell you. Here's something else. Now, who in the world should we be praying for? Well, look, if you will, at First Thessalonians chapter 5, in just one verse, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Who in the world should we be praying for? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not praying for candy or praying for a new car. That's not even praying for a new job or a new house. That's praying for other believers that their spirit, soul, and body would be preserved. Be blessed. Did you pray that prayer for me this week? I needed it. I needed it. We forget to do things like that. Until something comes up and grabs our attention, we forget what we ought to be praying for. I ought to be praying that you make it through your temptation. I ought to be praying that whatever comes your way, and it's going to come your way. You think you can live any week in the world without temptation and a chance of falling and stumbling and messing yourself up? No, you can't. Day by day we have opportunities to get mad, lose our temper, tell somebody off, hold a grudge. We have temptation, sexual temptation. We've got it coming into the living room all the time, and every one of the movies has got it in them. You almost can't go out without looking at it. And I hear Europe's worse. I've had some of the people that were stationed in Europe come back and say, their TV ads are nude. Wow. I guess you just wouldn't have to have a television, would you? Well, we need to pray for people's soul, spirit, and body to be preserved blameless. You know, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to go without sin? Wouldn't it be wonderful to go without temptation? Wouldn't it be wonderful to go without guilt? Wouldn't it be wonderful to go with forgiveness? Wouldn't it be wonderful just to walk in the presence of God and say, I'm a child of the King, He's my Heavenly Father, and I want to walk in His presence. I want to be in His will. I want to make the rest of my life right in the center of His will. I don't want my soul to be damaged. I don't want my body to be damaged. Amen. I tell you what, sin will do both of them. And your spirit too. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verses 9 through 11. Here's Paul praying for the Philippian church. Now, I'm going to say it again just so I might get some of you interested in it. This is my favorite book in the whole Bible. I think it's a Christian joy book. And I think you ought to put it into your head. In fact, it'd be good to memorize this four little chapters. But it'd be good if you got a little bit of the attitude of Paul in Philippians. Man, that's a Christian joy book. Here's what he says, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I wish you'd pray that for me. I sure would like God to answer that one for me. Would you like God to answer that for you? How about your children? Are you praying for your children? Well, that's a good prayer to pray for your children. That's a good prayer to pray for your brother-in-law and your sister-in-law. Your kids as they're growing up and teenagers. Oh, I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That's a prayer. That's praying wisely. You're praying like Paul. That's pretty intelligent to pray like Paul. You could watch his life and you don't find a lot that you can criticize. I mean, he's a good fellow to follow. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:1. 1. You're sort of running short on the contents of your prayer life. Well, here's a verse. Finally, brethren, pray for us. That's Paul. And the men that are with him. that the Word of the Lord may have free course. It won't be restricted. It won't be held back. It won't be stopped. That the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. He said, I want you praying for me. Church in Thessalonica, I want you praying for me. What? Pray that God's Word will not be hindered. Pray that there be a revival in Poland. Pray that there be another revival in Mexico. Pray there'd be a revival here in Texas. Pray there'd be a revival. And the Word of God would flow freely all through the United States and bring repentance to the even leaders of the country. Wow. Pray that the Word of God may have free course. You wouldn't think you'd need to pray for a guy like Paul. Man, the guy's such a mighty war horse. A guy's got so much intelligence and so much experience. That's what he said. What's he asking the church to do? You say, I can't do anything. Oh, yes, you can. You can pray for the preachers. You can pray for the soul winners. You can pray for the bold. And you can pray that you might become bold. You could do more. Here he is. Pray that the Word of God has free course. You know what you ought to do every time a preacher gets up in this pulpit to preach? You ought to say, Lord, let His Word, Your Word, be powerful. Let it go through. Let it touch somebody's heart. Let somebody get saved. Let somebody repent. Let somebody get changed. Praise the Lord. That the Word of God would have free course. That's something worth praying for. And then Luke 10:2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what he's telling you right here? That laborers are your problem. Laborers are what you ought to be praying for. Here's God telling you, his church, pray for laborers to go out in the field and preach the gospel. That's amazing, isn't it? Amen. It is to me. It really is amazing to me that God Almighty would come down and say, Church, there's a world out there that does not know my son. There's a world out there that believes that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell, and they don't know everybody's bad. In different proportions, but we're all bad. Well, none of us get on the good side. And it's your job. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. Now, I somehow don't understand that, but wow, it has a power over my mind when I think about it. Yes, we ought to be praying. Pray for more people to preach. Pray for more preachers to keep preaching. There's a whole lot of preachers that have quit preaching. Pray the Lord of the harvest. It's our job. God's laid the responsibility on us. We have the message of God, and we need to carry it out. We need to let people know. We need to let our families know. We need to let our children know. We need to let San Antonio know, and Texas know, and the world know. Pray for laborers. There aren't enough. I had an old deacon when I was a young preacher. And he went to one of the meetings. We sort of let him go because I was a working pastor. And so it was during the day. And he said he met a young preacher. And the preacher said to him, young preacher says, They're just too many preachers. He said, what are you talking about? Well, there wasn't a church for him to go to and be called as the pastor and paid as the pastor and, you know, be the pastor. And that old deacon, he wasn't really one to speak up much. But he told this boy, what is wrong with you? He said, get up and get on a street corner or knock on some doors and build a church. Amen? I think we need to pray for laborers. Not somebody that has a good, cushy job in a nice little church. or a great big church. How about getting a great big church? That'd scare me to death. Anyway, send forth laborers into his harvest. That's a prayer. That's what you ought to be praying for. You ought to be burdened that there aren't enough people preaching the Word of God. And by the way, all the preachers that are out there aren't preaching the Word of God. There's a whole lot of them that are telling good, funny stories. And they're good entertainers. And I'm happy for them. And there's a bunch of them that they're self-improvement churches. And others that just will not say anything negative or anything about anybody's sin. That just is not right. We need to stand up and do what Paul and Peter and Spurgeon and others have done over the years. Pray for laborers in the harvest, the big harvest. I want to close with this next one, Acts chapter 17. Verse 30. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Some of the things that went on in the past, even that are written in the Word of God, he's saying God winked at it. Overlooked it somehow. Got around it. But what about now? What about your responsibility right now? God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Let me tell you something. God is not in the business of answering sinners' prayer for most things. Sorry about that, but if you're not one of His children, He's not your heavenly Father. You can pray for healing, you can pray for a Cadillac, you can pray for a job. There's a whole lot of things you can pray for, and you're not His. Because you're not His, He's not going to answer that prayer. But it's not true that God will not answer a sinner's prayer. When a sinner repents, God hears. All you need to know is, I don't know much about the Bible. Well, join the club. There's a whole lot of people who don't know much about the Bible. They got one. Might have read it once or twice, but they're really not right on it. Let me tell you what God will hear. Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Lord, I have run from you. Forgive me. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. God will hear that prayer. Amen. God will hear that prayer. He wants to hear that prayer. He wants to change your life. And I'll tell you what, that's another miracle. The changing of sinners' lives and minds. Some of you are sitting in here and you remember the day when your thinking just got turned opposite. What you hated, you now love. What you loved, you now hate. You were proud, I'm as good as anybody. I can quit drinking anytime I want to. I can quit smoking anytime I want to. I can quit gambling anytime I want to. Yeah, you can. But no. God changed you. And all of a sudden you said, well, what happened to me? Oh, yeah. Now, if you're real young when you get saved, you might not be able to see as clearly that experience. But if you were grown, if you haven't been changed, you haven't been saved. Understand me. Jesus changes everybody He saves.
Amen.
Now, you might not have as big a change as somebody on your row, or a bigger change as somebody in your experience, but you've had a change in your mind about the way you think about God, the church, the Bible, sin. God changed your mind, and you are not like you were before you called upon God. God wants to hear some sinners pray, forgive me. Forgive me. I repent. I change my mind. I don't like the life that I've got. I don't like my situation. I want you to change it. God will hear that prayer. You will never clean yourself up good enough to be acceptable to God.
Amen.
But God can clean you up if you'll repent of your sins and call upon Him. And what a wonderful story. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful message. And why you would stand up and preach to people hours upon hours and not give that message is beyond me. It's the greatest thing I've ever known. I want to preach it every time. Because somebody that just not say just might listen this time. And I want to give them every opportunity. Because it isn't church membership that saves people. It's not even turning over a new leaf. It's not quitting drinking, smoking, gambling, cussing, lusting. No, that's not what it does. It's when you take Christ as your Savior. When you say, I am undone. I am a sinner in need. I have sinned against the Lord God. I deserve anything He would like to do to me. Oh God, have mercy upon me. I'm sorry for the sins I've done. I'm sorry for the life I've lived. I'm sorry for the way I've let you down. Forgive me. God will hear that prayer. I want you to know He'll hear it from anybody. I could go into any jail and take the very worst offenders and tell them if you will call upon God, He will save your soul. And He'll do it for all eternity.
Amen.
Wow. What a privilege. I have been privileged for 56 years to tell that same promise over and over and over again. I've knocked on doors all over this town for many years, weekly. And I've knocked on doors and had people come to their door and they think I'm just another religious fella promoting his church or whatever. And they turn me down. They don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. And I walk away and I think, well, I'm really sorry for you. Because you see, down inside of this rough old boy is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Down inside, there's a Savior. I may not look like I should be. I may look more like a bouncer in a bar than a preacher of the gospel. I understand that. But inside of me lives the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Savior of the world. Praise God. And I walk away thinking, you don't know who you were talking to because I am an ambassador. I am an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am an ambassador of the Savior of the world. And I have a little message that if you believe it, it'll change your life. Well, I don't think we can preach on prayer too much. I think we all need to be reminded about prayer. I really do. I think we ought to become a more praying church. I'm thinking that we ought to, and boy, you daddies, when those kids get up, there's not anything you can do but pray. When they go out on their own, you just better stay home praying. Because they're not going to let you go with them. I tried to go on a few dates, but they didn't want me. But I tell you what, I never could go to sleep till my kids were home. I was praying. And oh, God answered a lot of prayers for me. I'm thankful for His mercy. Are you here today and you know you don't have Jesus as your Savior? You've been putting it off? You had something else that was more important? Are you here today? Did the Holy Spirit speak to you and say, you need this salvation? You need to be forgiven of your sins.
Amen.
You need to be changed. Will you repent? Maybe you're a Christian. Need to repent on how sorry your prayer life is.
Amen.
Would you repent as a Christian of how sorry your prayer life is? That'd be a good thing to do. Make some changes. Read Jesus' model prayer and start praying. Read Paul praying. Read some of these other guys in the Bible and how they prayed and try to become better at prayer. Hey, that's a skill worth learning.
Amen.
But if you're here and the Lord's spoken to your heart in any way, you're welcome to come. These chairs are our altar. Come on down. Ask God for forgiveness. Come on down. Accept Christ as your Savior. Come on down. Get back right with God. Christian, you're bitter, maybe even bitter against God. Well, He'll accept your apology. All you need to do is repent. God now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Let's stand.